Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and on today's show, we'll have a discussion about food insecurity. We'll hear from a new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, and we'll check in with the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here at home in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities to our Army National Guard units stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, St. Paul, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here, work here, and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partners. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter drug program. In our role as emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, wildfires, civil unrest, or a pandemic. While I'm in the community, people often stop me to thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude, but I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me on the phone from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system to talk about food insecurity is Sarah Schoen. Now, Sarah is a master's prepared registered dietitian working as the Veterans Health Education Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Sarah volunteered with the Minneapolis VA from 2010 to 2015 and then completed her dietetic internship. That's a tough word to say, Sarah, in 2016, and then worked for the Milwaukee VA Medical Center from 16 to 20 before returning to Minneapolis in August of 20. Sarah is the daughter of an Air Force veteran and the granddaughter of two Army veterans. Sarah, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so you can hear, I mean, I'm trying to read your bio here, and, you know, I have a hard time pronouncing words, but it's so good to have you on the program and talk to us a little bit about this topic of food insecurity. And I want to hear a little bit about what that is. But before we get into the topic of food insecurity, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and kind of the work that you're doing over at the VA?
Yeah, thanks. So as mentioned, I'm a registered dietitian by training. And then upon entering my role as the health education coordinator within Minneapolis VA, the topic of food insecurity was introduced to me through the Veterans Experience Committee within the facility. So we had really put together a work group that was formed to determine how to best approach how to combat food insecurity at Minneapolis VA healthcare system. So the pandemic really paused these efforts, but while the pandemic was going on, a new two-question food insecurity screen showed up in the medical record. It was implemented in 2021, and there were two food insecurity questions on there. So the first question was, have you run out of food? Were you worried that you were going to run out of food? And this is over 3 months of past recollection. So we found that data that was collected from that screening, along with a number of research studies, it indicated that food insecurity increased during the pandemic. And then our work group resumed at the beginning of 2022 and started to move forward on our planning process.
And so you know, what's interesting is, you know, generally, you know, I think about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, you know, I'm thinking about actual healthcare, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, never really, you know, draw that conclusion or draw a line to a concern about food insecurity. So it's just interesting that question would then start to be asked of the patients coming into the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Yeah, so this is something that has been coming down from the National Nutrition Office as well. So it's one of the major strategic goals to help combat food insecurity within the VA as a whole. And so this has been really exciting to be able to be kind of on the front line of this and working through this process with a number of really invested participants.
And so, you know, when we talk about food insecurity today, you know, what's the kind of information that you're really trying to do or put out to the listening audience? I mean, we're, you know, broadcasting to every corner of the state of Minnesota, 65 different radio stations. So, you know, you've got a great opportunity to share this message. What do you want to do or what do you want to share with that audience today?
What I really want to put out there is how we want to educate community members and veterans on just the prevalence of food insecurity to create awareness around it. It is something that silently impacts those around us, so it's not something that you can see when you're just looking at somebody. But we want to talk about, too, how to address that at the Minneapolis healthcare system and ensure that veterans who are experiencing food insecurity can come to us and get resources and, as you'll hear later on, potentially obtain some food through our pop-up pantry.
All right. And so you started asking the questions, whether or not a veteran had run out of food, whether or not they were worried that they would run out of food. Do those two things right there classify then as food insecurity, or is there a different or a broader definition? You know, what exactly is food insecurity? And then, and honestly, how does it then impact even our veterans?
Sure. So if somebody answers yes to either of those two questions, they will have screened positive for food insecurity. And then there are a couple of different pathways that our staff can move towards to help them with that food insecurity. So they can be consulted to a dietitian or to a social worker to get more information about how they can get resources in the community. But, you know, right now, Minneapolis as a facility doesn't have a way to necessarily help someone bring home food if they are in imminent need of food. I mean, there certainly are some things that our formerly voluntary services department assists with for acute needs, but kind of going into what is food insecurity as a larger piece, and this is going to tie into what we're wanting to do about it. So the food insecurity, for those who are not familiar with it, the U.S. Department of Agriculture defines food insecurity as a lack of consistent access to enough food for every person in a household to live an active and healthy life. So this is temporary, or it can be long-lasting. It can affect anyone, regardless of educational or socioeconomic background. And so I have some data for you. So about 10% of U.S. households were food insecure at some point during 2021. That number is quite variable. There were some estimates that reached as high as 40% of the population being food insecure at some point during the pandemic. So if we look more specifically at the veteran population, there's a higher incidence of food insecurity seen with veterans. Now, prior to the pandemic, the veteran food insecurity rates ranged from 6% to about 24%. And this population also showed higher food insecurity rates during the pandemic. Now, those veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, female veterans, homeless or formerly homeless veterans, and then veterans with serious mental illnesses are impacted more heavily by food insecurity. So looking at really why is this important to our population, so the food insecurity is not only associated with poor overall health status and negative health outcomes and an increased probability of delayed or miscarriage, but it's also linked to a number of diet-related conditions. So things like high blood pressure, hyperlipidemia, fatty liver, type 2 diabetes. And there's a higher probability for mental health issues when someone is food insecure also.
And then obviously I would imagine, you know, the state of the economy, the inflation rate, that has to play a big part in this too. And we're going to talk about things that you're going to be doing or you want to be able to do to help the community, our veteran community, as it relates to satisfying the food insecurity or instability that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. So what we'll do is we'll just take a quick break right here then, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the plan for the food pantry over at the Minneapolis VA, and then we'll talk a little bit about what you all need and how our audience can support the Minneapolis VA and your efforts to combat food insecurity. We're speaking with Sarah Schoen over at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in the last segment, we're speaking with Sarah Schoen. Sarah is a master's prepared registered dietitian working as the Veterans Health Education Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And so, Sarah, before we went to break, we were talking about, food insecurity, and, you're giving us a little bit of information about it, some of the statistics. Can you just give us a quick recap again? What is food insecurity? And then I want to get into what the Minneapolis VA is doing for it.
Again, food insecurity, as defined by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, is a lack of consistent access to enough food for every person in a household to be able to live an active and healthy life. And then I also added on to that and said that this can be temporary or it can be a long-lasting situation. It is a silent thing for people, so it can affect anyone regardless of their educational or socioeconomic background.
And the VA started asking the question whether or not someone was worried that they would run out of food, or if they had run out of food, and you had an increased response in a positive manner. I don't mean in a good manner, but I mean the number of respondents is saying, yeah, they have run out of food or worried that they would. And so then that caused the Minneapolis VA to start working towards some things to see if they can combat food insecurity. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the plan is. You talked about a food pantry before. So tell us a little bit about what this food pantry is and really what the plan at the Minneapolis VA would be.
So our work group had gone through a number of different options on how we could best help fight food insecurity. And what it boiled down to is that a food pantry was going to be the biggest bang for our buck to allow for as many people to come through and receive the service as possible. And so what our plan is to have a food pantry set up monthly on the Minneapolis VA campus with the help of volunteers. We'll also have VA staff to provide other services such as flu shots or housing and community referrals. There could be some mental health interventions and suicide prevention resources, amongst others. So our volunteers through Center for Development and Civic Engagement, which was formerly Voluntary Services, would assist by setting up the pantry. It would help sort, organize, receive the food, and then they would help veterans through the food pantry shopping process. So we're looking at a phased approach to this pantry. We want to start as a pop-up in the facility, and it'll gradually move to a more permanent location as space is modified to fit our needs.
And the Minneapolis VA, obviously a large portion of the helpers out there are volunteers. So I'm assuming then that there'll be an increased need for additional volunteers to support this monthly effort.
That is definitely true. So that's one of the things that we're really hoping to get more people interested, more people involved within this pantry process. And so, having this pantry on site, we want to do it at least one time a month right now. This is going to serve any veteran who experiences food insecurity. So we'll be looking for, a few bits of assistance from the public, but we can get into that a little bit later. But, this really is going to be something to help serve any veteran who needs to come in and access those services.
And what is your goal about being able to start this monthly pantry?
Yeah, so the goal right now is, like I said, one time a month, we want to have this in more of a phased approach so that we can maybe even open it to be more often availability for veterans to come in. So once we have space modified to fit the needs that we have, we will have a true brick and mortar. And then that will definitely open it up to allow more pantry dates to be opened. So right now we have a few asks for sure. So a few things that we would need before that could happen. So we definitely still are looking for donors who can donate food. We also are looking for volunteers to donate their time at the pantry. And then monetary donations. So we have a general post fund that was set up. It's called the Director's Veterans Food Pantry Fund. And so any donations that go into that fund are strictly dedicated to funding the food pantry.
And what I thought was interesting here is you mentioned that not only will you provide the food pantry once a month, but you also want to have resources available in the same location or close to it anyway, so that you could offer things like you mentioned the flu shots or other prevention type resources. I just think that's another great way to have that draw and have those resources really right at the hand and available for our veterans in need.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, you know, a number of different resources that could certainly help veterans out. But, you know, food insecurity aside, we want this to be a place where people can come and, you know, if they are looking for a flu shot, for instance, if they are looking for maybe some community referrals to housing or any other of the social services, that's something that we would like to be able to provide to people while they're coming on site. You know, it's capturing somebody while they are capturing their attention while they are within the area of the food pantry and being able to potentially give information on enrollment or benefits or, you know, nutrition recipes or, you know, just different things that we can make their lives a little bit easier once they are accessing this kind of food and pantry process. I think it's going to be a really, really great service to provide to veterans in our community.
And I think the nutrition aspect of it would be extremely important as well. You know, the whole eating properly, the right types of food, you know, you might not need as much food if you're eating the right types of food. And so having that resource available, I think, would be paramount as well.
Yeah, I partnering with Nutrition and Food Services, and again, I mentioned in the earlier half of the show that the National Nutrition Office is really focusing on food insecurity as one of the major strategic goals for nutrition and food. And, you know, there's a food insecurity division being set up within the National Nutrition and Food Service Office. And so there is getting, you know, there's a lot of attention focused on food insecurity and what the different facilities are able to help veterans with.
So, Sarah, if the space is designated, you get the donors lined up, you have the volunteers, and you start getting some monetary donations to the Director's Veterans Food Pantry Fund, do you have like a, you know, hey, you'd love to open this thing up starting in November, December, or are we just not even there yet to make that type of an assessment yet?
Yeah, I think we have determined that we will probably start in the spring. So we're looking at probably March or April for a soft opening for this. And again, as I said, a phased approach is what we're looking for. So, you know, before we do have any sort of brick and mortar space, we want to make sure we're working through any of the logistics that might come up that we may not have thought of. So hoping that March or April is a kind of a go-to time and we can start servicing veterans at that point.
And we'll have plenty of time on Minnesota Military Radio to help promote, you know, additional donations and things like that and let our audience know when the pantry is open. So how can somebody then reach out to you or to the work group if they want to donate food or volunteer their time or even give some monetary donation? What should they do?
Yeah, thanks. So for further information on how to donate or become involved, we would like to direct you to the Center for Development and Civic Engagement website. So that is, this email address is vhaminvol@va.gov. And then if people are interested in donating, there's a website available for that as well. So that website is www.va.gov/Minneapolis-health-care.
And we'll make sure that that web link is out on our webpage as well, so someone go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com to get more information. Sarah, we're just about out of time here, and I just want to say thanks for coming on to Minnesota Military Radio and talking about food insecurity in the work that the Minneapolis VA, you know, once again, the Minneapolis VA really lead the nation on care for our veterans. And I just want to say thank you for the work you're doing out there, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. That's Sarah Schoen from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system talking to us about food insecurity. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In just a moment, we're going to hear from a representative from Ryan Companies, the newest Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. It's a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
You're invited to join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for the dedication ceremony of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, Redwood Falls. The event is scheduled for Saturday, August 19th at 2 p.m. at 33752 Noble Avenue in Redwood Falls. This ceremony commemorates more than a decade of advocacy and planning to create a dignified, respectful, and sacred final resting place for veterans who made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. Join with federal, state, and local elected officials, community members, veteran service organizations, and allies who have worked tirelessly to make this dream a reality. The Redwood Falls Veterans Cemetery is committed to being a place of solace and reflection for families and friends of veterans, preserving the memories and legacies of the heroes who served. For more information about this event, visit minnesotaveteran.org/events.
Thank you, Interim Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. In the studio with me is Bill Sherling. Bill is a project executive at Ryan Companies, where Bill leads multiple project management teams, making sure that the company meets its goals, adheres to budgets, and achieves the highest levels of customer satisfaction. He's also a member of Shamrock Six, which we will talk about a little bit later on here in the interview. Bill also served in our United States Army, both in the reserves and on active duty for 23 years, retired as an engineer officer, a lieutenant colonel. Bill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. And so you served 23 years in our United States Army, both in the reserves and active component. Tell us a little bit about your service.
Yeah, service started early. Joined ROTC, Mankato State University at the time, helped pay for college like a lot of us did, stuck with the service, engineer branch with three significant deployments during that time. In 02, I went to Bosnia, and 09 to Afghanistan, and then 12 and 13 in Kuwait, and then retired in 2015.
Well, thanks for your service. We do appreciate that. And I think that, you know, when we talk about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies and the process that companies go through, the employee resource groups, you know, obviously having your military background definitely played a big role, I would assume, in the development of the Yellow Ribbon community or company for Ryan Companies.
It did. And that was basically a personal story for myself. During much of my military service, I served and worked for a different company in the same area, construction. And during those deployments, they were offered awesome support for myself and my family. Upon return of my final deployment in 2013 to Kuwait, one of our outreach members at the company was a Yellow Ribbon community member, and she found out that the companies could be Yellow Ribbon certified and suggested it, and that kind of orientated myself. We participated in the process to become a Yellow Ribbon company, and I thought it was a great intentional operation to get your company and your ERG really focused on how you can not just provide services to your own military people, but how you can serve alongside other companies. And so that was a really good process for me at that time. And then when I joined Ryan Companies about 4.5 years ago, they just stood up several employee resource groups, and one of them being military service, and that's named Shamrock Six. Shamrock is kind of a symbol of Ryan Companies, and Six is the I got your back six. So that's how we came up with that name. But as we were standing up that ERG, I remembered that Yellow Ribbon process to come up with an action plan would be the perfect process to help us focus Shamrock Six, develop a strategy, come up with our mission. And so together, that's what we decided to do. And a couple of years ago, we started the process and became Yellow Ribbon certified this past spring.
And so you were involved with the Shamrock Six then from day one?
Correct. I labeled myself as an advisor to the committee. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have advisors. That way you can do a lot of delegation and not necessarily have to do all of the work.
Right. There is some administration requirements.
Yeah. So that, you know, that explains then, of course, you know, why Rhine Company would want to go through this process, right? I mean, you're already setting up these employee resource groups, Shamrock Six. You've already got a foundation there. So do you feel like the process was pretty easy to go through as a company to get the designation as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company?
Easy is relative. The process, I looked it up today because I couldn't recall, but I think it's a 16-step process. It's very deliberate, intentional, the steps you go through and the boxes that you need to check to get your action plan reviewed and approved. It's usually a 12 to 16-month process, depending how much time you invest in checking off those boxes. There's also some committee training involved. That takes a little bit of time, but very useful. And so you have to just make that decision to invest the time to get that all those steps complete.
Now, was it a pretty smooth process for you, or did you guys have some hiccups along the way, any snags?
I think it helped that I had gone through it once before. But also the team at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is very supportive along every step of the way. Any questions, they're always available and very helpful.
And so when we talk about the process and, you know, obviously you talk about the action plan and the steps that you go through, the boxes that you have to check, it's not as simple as just, you know, checking the box and then you're done. I mean, there's now a long-term plan of things that you need to do to maintain this status. And so, like, what are some of the things that Rhine Companies is doing now to support current military members or, you know, those who have served that are working for Rhine Companies?
Sure. That is one of the areas of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program to support existing veterans within the companies and their families. Typically during Memorial Day and Veterans Day, we do standard kind of celebrations and recognition of those military members and their families. Outside of that, we try and pick two or three different events that our team members, employees can join in as volunteers and help support. One recent example of that is just yesterday, we delivered about $4,000 worth of baby goodies to a National Guard unit for essentially baby showers. So veterans and military spouses that are expecting can go to the unit and grab some of the necessities for their new baby.
So we've only got about a minute and a half left in this segment here. And you know, I mentioned in the intro that you served 23 years. You're an executive at Rhine Companies. Has the company done some things to personally support you because of your service or your membership in the Shamrock Six the Employee Support Group?
Well, the first thing is they hired me.
That's a good thing.
Which is a grand level of support, right? But really, I really appreciated the effort of starting up the employee resource group, which was kind of step one. And really now my goal and passion is really helping other veterans in need and their families. And so this is a perfect vehicle. And we really had top-down support. With each of our ERGs, we have an executive in the company sponsor, and they stay very close and make sure that you're heading in the right direction. But that top-down support was critical to the success.
And that top-down support, you know, not only critical to the success of becoming named a Yellow Ribbon company, but critical to the success of maintaining it, right? Because, again, you don't just want to do it. You want to keep doing it.
Absolutely. We're a national company. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a Minnesota National Guard initiative. And so, really, now we want ambassadors in each of our offices that support Shamrock Six and can basically execute our action plan anywhere nationwide. And again, each of those offices have top-down support as well.
Well, that's awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about the future of Ryan Companies and Shamrock Six and the Yellow Ribbon Company. We're speaking here with Bill Sherling, who is a project executive at Ryan Companies. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the last segment, we're talking to Bill Sherling. He's a project executive at Ryan Companies. And Bill, before we went to break, you know, obviously we were talking a little bit about, you know, the process and checking the boxes and having that top-down support and kind of how you want to spread this Minnesota initiative inside of a national company throughout all of Ryan Companies and the Shamrock Six program. So tell us a little bit about what the future looks like for Ryan Companies as it relates to what you've learned through this process.
Sure. To date, it has been kind of a Minneapolis. Minneapolis is our headquarters, so it's been a Minneapolis-based initiative. And it'll take deliberate steps to engage the rest of the companies around the country and really strive hard to get not just one, but a few people within each of those offices that can, again, execute kind of our action plan. And the action plan kind of in the future involves, you know, many of our clients are also beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies, Target, Medtronic, Boston Scientific. And I see that the next opportunity is to join forces with them and kind of exponentially increase the amount of support that we can provide to our military communities.
And I have to believe that, you know, working with companies that have the same goals in mind, you know, let's just talk specific to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative, right? I mean, that's got to have just a great rapport right off of the bat that you have with those companies, because you've got some, you're like-minded in some of the values and things.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed attending Beyond the Yellow Ribbon hosts two conferences each year where a company will host the event and really take time to share best practices. And so each of us together grow and improve our best practices moving forward, and that's been a great learning experience. And I would encourage any company considering it to attend one of those conferences. You gain a lot of information, a lot of good contacts, and that would be really helpful in the process of becoming a Yellow Ribbon company.
And one of the things we've talked about on this show before, as a company is starting the process, it can seem like a daunting task, but often because there's already employee resource groups available, there's already some type of a foundation or groundwork that's laid to actually go through the process. So it's really not as difficult as maybe it would seem right off of the bat.
Yeah, that's very true. The different areas that the action plan covers, whether it's HR, recruiting, retention, and things like that, need a deliberate entrance into your policies and procedures. And sometimes that has to go several levels for approval. But that's really kind of the hardest approval step. The rest are just coming up with really good ideas, being creative on how you can support military communities.
All right. So advice that you would have, check out one of these conferences so that you can build this relationship, talk to the companies that have already gone through it. Any other advice to companies that, you know, if they're thinking about maybe starting the process, anything else you'd tell them to do?
No, really just make sure you have the right support from the top, because that's really necessary, as you mentioned, for long-term sustainability of the program. As long as you have that and you have a few people that are passionate about supporting military communities, you'll get through it.
And, of course, it's not all hard work. As a matter of fact, I know that one of the outreach things that you're doing is you're supporting RibFest on September 16th. Ryan Companies is a gold-level sponsor, and you've actually got two teams competing in that Rib Fest event. And we talked about on the show previously, so through the Minnesota Building Trades Facebook page, people can get more information about it. But just another way in which, hey, you continue to do the outreach and do things to support our military community, their families.
Absolutely. And fun, families, outreach are three of the pillars of Ryan Companies' values. So they all blend really well together.
In that order, then? Fun,
Yes.
Fun. Yeah, perfect. Well, you know, this has been good, and I'd love to continue to have this conversation go on. We'd talk about a bunch of stuff and more about your service, but you know, as in the life of radio, we're constricted to a certain amount of time. But Bill, I just want to say thanks so much for stopping in, sharing with us a little bit about Ryan Companies, your process, and we really appreciate Ryan Companies stepping forward and becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company.
Thank you for the invitation and happy to be here.
Yeah, that was Bill Sherling. He's a project executive at Ryan Companies. Ryan Companies became a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company in May of 2023. Joining me on the phone right now is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, the last time I saw you, you were getting ready to head out to the golf course down in Rochester, kicking off the 52nd Annual Enlisted Association, the National Conference. Two questions for you. First off, I should say, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. But then my question is, how did your golf day go?
My golf day was amazing. Any day on the golf course is a great day.
Well, it was, and it was great to be able to visit with you down there. It was such a beautiful day, and you know, we love having you on the show because, you know, from my time in your seat, it was just great to be able to share all the good things that are going on within the organization, and you know, in our short amount of time here together, why don't you tell us a little bit about the 52nd National Enlist Association, what kind of success we had for the Minnesota National Guard down in Rochester this past week?
Well, it was, you know, we kicked it off on Friday with a golf outing. And then Saturday we had a quick 5K in the morning, and that was fun. That was sponsored by My Hyatt, the hydration system. So they had mimosas waiting for us at the finish line, but you had to finish it to get your mimosa. So following that, we had a welcome night. We kicked off Sunday morning. Tag, myself, and Sergeant Major Whitehead were the keynote speakers. We each welcomed everyone to Minnesota. We believe the total people who attended was 1,007, so that's great. We were pushing for 1,200, so we almost hit that goal. Throughout the week of conference and caucus, they pushed through 24 resolutions on various issues for the National Guard. So that's amazing to get that many resolutions across the finish line, and now the work begins in D.C. So the other good piece is we did a little bit of community service, and we donated 40 pints of blood to the American Red Cross. So they brought in a bunch of their folks to draw blood, and we had a lot of donations come. So that was a win for us as well. We had Governor Walz there on Monday, and did a great job welcoming everyone to Minnesota and just talking about issues that are affecting soldiers and airmen. He's very, very plugged in. So it was good to have him there. Of course, we had our Washington, D.C. friends. You know, the Sergeant Major of the Army was there, the Command Sergeant Major of the Army National Guard, the Command Chief of the Air National Guard, and, of course, our Senior Enlisted Advisor, Tony Whitehead. So he works directly with the Chief of NGB. So we had a lot of big hitters there, and we did probably 126 airmen and soldiers participated in some professional development where they had a couple of capstone projects where they worked on things such as social media for recruiting and retention. And I think the other one was working on artificial intelligence, but I'm not quite sure. But again, great time had by all. Everybody had a great time on Trucker Night, which was the junior enlisted night. So those young kids came out with all their hats and flannels on, and it was great weather in Rochester as well.
So, Chief, we've got less than a minute here, but you know, you talked about the 24 resolutions. I think the important thing that people need to know is those resolutions, when they pass, now the legislative team is going to go to the Hill, and they're going to start pushing to get those resolutions through our federal legislative process. And the numbers, the membership numbers, really help to push to get those things through, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's why it's so important to be a member of this professional organization, because it's literally the enlisted voice on the Hill. So yeah, let's hope those resolutions get pushed through and they hear what our airmen and soldiers need.
Well, Chief, hey, thanks for giving us an update. I'm glad that you had a successful 52nd National Enlisted Association Conference, and we look forward to speaking with you next time on Minnesota Military Radio.
Sounds good.
That was Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, the senior enlisted leader for the Minnesota National Guard. I've got three mentions this week. The first one is that on Saturday and Sunday, August 19th and 20th, the Magnus Veterans Foundation is hosting a Friends and Family Festival in Dayton, Minnesota. The event features live music, a kids' carnival, a raffle, giveaways, and a lot more. For details, visit MagnusVeteransFoundation.org. That's MagnusVeteransFoundation.org. Also, a couple of opportunities. The first one, as you know, Minnesota State Fair is right around the corner. And on Military Appreciation Day, the Minnesota National Guard is still looking for 300 Vietnam veterans to participate in a march during the State Fair's Appreciation Day event. That's on Tuesday, the 29th. We're going to have a link on our webpage. Please go there. You get a complimentary ticket if you're a Vietnam veteran to go and participate in that march. And then also, the Minnesota Twins are having their Armed Forces Appreciation Day, and that's on Sunday, September 10th. We'll have a link on our webpage for that, and you'll be able to get two tickets for Vietnam veterans, and you'll be asked to do an on-field event or recognition during the game. That would be the Minnesota Twins. Again, look for those links on our webpage. I would like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Sarah Schoen, Bill Sherling, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we get a tease about what's happening at the Great Minnesota Get-Together on Military Appreciation Day. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week and you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.